We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Do you know anything about the relationship that exists or the friendship that exists between Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum? Like, are those guys buddies?
I do. No, they're not buddies. No. They like each other, but they don't hang out off the court. And honestly, they don't hang out off the court. And I don't want to say it's clear watching them on the court because there are plenty of guys. Hey, Glenn knows this better than anybody. Did Larry Bird and Kevin McHale, were they buddies?
No.
It's why I have said over and over and over, and people criticize me and crucify me for saying it, but trade Jaylen Brown for Bradley Beal if you can.
Jeff Goodman from Stadium On earlier with us. Interesting how he answered that so quickly. No, they're not buddies. No. I mean, pretty obvious that you see them on the court, and that's the biggest problem I think most people have, and that they both are really good players. There's no denying. They're young. They make some mistakes. You can question their leadership ability, making other players better on the floor. You can question all of that, but they're really good players. And yet, together, something is missing. Something's missing.
Yeah, no, it's, and I think that's a major problem because, fine, let's say you're not buddies and your goals in life outside of basketball are not the same. I would like to think that maybe, like, somehow you would try to realize that, you know, you're both kind of tied together as far as your success. Like, if I benefit off your success and likewise. So it would be, let's kind of like put our backs together and let's kind of figure out how we can both succeed. Because I succeed if you succeed. But it just doesn't seem to even be like that on the court.
No,
it's
somebody
disconnect.
Calling earlier said they played together in AAU. Fact check, no, they didn't. That he even said, like, they have great chemistry on the court. No, they don't. Jeff Goodman is right. Sometimes when these two play, it's like, you know, okay, I'm, you know, Tatum gets hot in the first quarter. Okay, now I'm going to get hot in the second quarter. Like, it's just, you do your thing, I'll do my thing. It's like they're just separate. They're on the same team doing their thing, but they don't work together.
No.
They just sort of do their own thing. So that's, yeah, it's kind of concerning because you really need both these guys, if you're going to move forward both these guys, to be on the same page with everything, whether it's the coach, free agency, who's coming in, who's leaving, who's going, everything. And I don't know if they are.
So the fear that I think we all have is that they're really young. And so you watch the NBA right now, and I know a lot of people are looking at the Celtics saying they're contenders. No, they are light years away from being contenders, and they may be dropping down every year. They're down to a 7 seed this year with a play-in game. So you look at it and say, well, how are they going to get better? Well, they'll get better if these two guys raise their game to the next level, but that's probably going to take until they're 26, 27, 28 years old. How do we know that? Look around the league. Those are the guys that are capable of doing it. So Ryan McDonough, the former GM with the Phoenix Suns, did a nice job out there when you look at where they are today. He's no longer out there. But anyway, he was on Monday night last night, and he was talking about this is the next step for Jason Tatum.
I think of the 30 teams, Boston's certainly in the top half as far as attractiveness and what they can do is win and support their current players. And if that happens and Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum and those guys are happy, they will be their best recruiters. And that's the way the Celtics will land their next elite free agent. I think the next step in Tatum's game, and I'm sure he's aware of this, he's a smart guy, is not being so ISO heavy, not being so ball dominant. I think the next step for him will be trusting his teammates, trusting the pass, moving the ball and getting it back, trying to be more efficient without out the ball and with his shots. And then if he can do that, guys, which I have no doubt he will be able to do it if he wants to, given his talent, then other guys will want to come play with him if and when he does that. I think he'll be a very attractive guy to play with because he's one of the best young talents in the entire NBA.
I'm not buying any of that, and I'll tell you why. Because Tatum is a young player, mm-hmm. and nobody's looking at it saying that he's ready to knock on the door to win one of those Larry O'Brien trophies. So he's going this summer on Team USA. Who is he going to attract to come to the Celtics? Is he going to get Chris Paul? Who's he going to get? Bam Adebayo? How is he going to get any of those players to come to Boston if they become free
agents? See, I'm with you. And this whole thing of, like, you know, Jason Tatum, now he can be a recruiter. I don't think he's going this Olympic team to be a recruiter. I think he's what's going to end up happening is he's going to be recruited. You know, because I look at him, I think he's easily seduced. You know, he loves all NBA teams. He loves All-Star games and World Cup in 2019, and now he's on the Olympic team. And I could see him sitting there going there and talking to guys like Kevin Garnett. And Garnett's like, hey, man, did you hear what I said about you? I put you in the class of some of the best I've ever played against. And you're going to be that good. You're tough to cover. But let me tell you something. See, this is what I did. I left Oklahoma City, and I went and joined the Golden State Warriors, and we won a championship. Now I'm out here in Brooklyn. We put another team together. That's the path you got to be looking at. You think you can win in Boston? I don't know if you can. And I think he's going to start getting seduced and getting people starting to talk about him where he wants to go in a couple years. I know Goody's talking about going and getting Bradley Beal. Who's to say Bradley Beal ain't out there in the Olympics saying, listen, I'm a free agent. I might get traded, but there's a spot that I'm thinking about in 2 years. Jason, in 2 years, we'll play together. Just not going to be in Boston. It's going to be somewhere else. Like, that's the reality.
Yeah, I think they have a bunch of issues. One, I like the way you phrased it, seduced.
Yes.
So it's like a siren song, and he's just going to crash into the rocks. Like, they're all, and I think you said Kevin Garnett. I think you meant Kevin Durant.
Oh, Durant, sorry.
I think you meant Durant.
Kevin Durant.
But, yeah, Durant, almost like that Pied Piper. He's going to sit there and kind of listen, young buck. Like, this is how it's really done. If you really want to be the best, like, this is what you have to do. It's going to be uncomfortable. You're going to be criticized for it. People are going to call you this, that, and the other, and you're not loyal and everything. It doesn't matter. Like, you need to do what's right for you. And I would think it should be comfortable. So it makes sense. It's like human nature for, like, guys to, like, eventually, like, listen, have the control and play with their friends.
Right. And so you can sit there and say, well, Kevin, you know, Durant, you know, it was easy, man. You were a free agent. You know, I'm under contract. And all of a sudden, James Harden sitting right next to Durant. He's like,
are you still under contract?
Actually, I was under contract in Houston. Yeah. And then he says, yeah, but I just started my long contract. I can't bail in year one or year two. Hold on 1 second. Hey, Kevin, you got Paul George's number? Let's give him a call. I know he's out here in Tokyo, but he can talk to you about how you sign a long-term deal in Oklahoma City and get
it's
out of it in year two.
The worst thing for him.
I'm just saying, it's all around him.
Yeah.
And, I mean, he's not recruiting anybody. He's the young buck in this group. And even Devin Booker, another young one's like, hey, you like Phoenix, don't you?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just saying, like,
he's going to be poisoned.
And because of that, honestly, God, because of that, maybe they do the Beal thing and they keep him happy. I don't know. But I think he's gone. Like, he's got two more years here. And then he's going to be the guy that's going to say, I want out of here. And I think Jaylen Brown, if he sticks around, he might be the best chance you have of actually having one of these two long term.
So
Jaylen Brown might be the best opportunity.
So going back to what Jeff Goodman said, if the Celtics are looking at it saying that Tatum is the most important piece that we have, this going forward, he's the most important piece we have, then what you end up doing is you try to appease him to keep him around, and you go and you trade Jaylen Brown for Bradley Beal. That's what you do, or you wait until next year, try to free up this money, get into a position where you can get a free agent, and you go out and you sign Bradley Beal, and Bradley Beal works together with Tatum. Now, maybe you still have Brown as part of that equation if you wait until he becomes a free agent, or you deal him if Brown's not real happy, because Beal's coming in at a maximum contract. Tatum's got a maximum contract. And, oh, yeah, Jaylen's working for pennies on the dollar. Mm-hmm. He's getting a cheap deal. But I think that's what they're going to do.
See, I'm not
they're
going
to try to appease
him. I'm not saying you're going to deal these guys in the offseason. I think they're both back here next year. All I'm saying is, like, that next offseason, as you mentioned, maybe they free up the money, right? Horford's money is not guaranteed. Maybe they free it up. That's going to be that 2 years from now.
Go for Beal then.
What this team looks like. And if it doesn't go well, that'll be Tatum's last year, my opinion. You know, if it doesn't go well, he's got 2 years left.
See, I think that's the fear you have with all
and
of this.
And he's gone.
You know, everybody talks about this team was unlikable. How do you think the players felt about it? You're starting to read some of this.
Oh, my God.
With the Jared Weiss stuff right now, that players were not happy about any of this stuff. And we're hearing, and we'll get into more of it with COVID, that they weren't paying attention to the rules and they were out and doing stuff and getting themselves into trouble with the COVID protocols, that other teams were getting pissed off. So they weren't enjoying it. So anybody think that Tatum, 2 years from now, 3 years from now, if you go sideways and you're a seventh seed and you're not really competing for a championship, that he's going to want to stay here?
Nope.
He may love the city. He may think it's the greatest place in the world. He's not going to stay here.
Yeah, I also feel like I feel like you're going to end up losing both. Because if every article I read mentions Jason Tatum's what he needs to do to get this team better, what the future of the Celtics looks like and how it's all predicated on his success and his development, and not in one of them Jaylen Brown's name is listed, and I'm reading this and I'm looking at this, I feel like I'm getting a little jealous. I'm starting to feel a little underappreciated. And you know what? When Jason Tatum does decide to leave, I'm not staying either. I'm gone. Mm. So you're left with neither one of them. Either one of them.
Well, the biggest problem I have right now is, how do they get better so that Tatum can sit here? Because I'm not saying that he doesn't like Boston. He obviously signed here in the offseason. So he likes Boston. He wants to be here. What I'm saying is, how do you make the team better? He wants to stay here, but he doesn't want to be a seventh seed for the rest of his career.
Exactly.
So how do you improve the team? And I'm looking at the team and basically saying, what moves can Brad make? I mean, are we going to get excited about Al Horford coming back?
Some are.
How do you get better to the point where Jason Tatum has a team that is a legitimate contender? You don't think Tatum had other guys telling him, hey, the reason you didn't make that all-NBA team and you lost out on $32 million, your team's not good
enough.
Yeah,
and I would also
you
say,
are, but your team's not good enough.
Hey, the guys like Giannis, that's the exception to the rule. Giannis, a guy that
re-signing with
the team, right, long-term. I'm not going anywhere. I'm here for the duration. But they
better win this year because he may regret that.
Yeah.
Suppose they lost in that last round.
Didn't they do whatever they could do to make that team better?
But even back when they got Drew Holiday, you're sitting there saying, oh, they got Drew Holiday, they're going to keep Giannis happy. And it's like, okay. And the Nets go and bring in Harden. It's like Drew Holiday's a nice player. You know what I mean? But he's not a top 10 player in the league. Because Brooklyn then went and got James Harden. So I was like, okay, well, you know, Drew Holiday's fine. And we'll see what Milwaukee does. You know, but if they got bounced last round by Brooklyn, I would put another year or two on Giannis's clock as well. Saying, yeah, I want out of here. Yeah. You know, we can't beat Brooklyn. You know what I mean? But now, listen, I don't know. Maybe they go to the NBA Finals and win a championship. Everybody's happy.
Yeah.
But I just feel like in the NBA, I feel like everything's like a two-year window. Everything's like a two-year window. Things just change, man. They're just left and right. You think this team is great, then all of a sudden, you know, Atlanta's an up-and-coming team. All of a sudden, 2 years from now, Trae Young's like, I'm out. Bye. You know, I'm going somewhere else. We're going to do another team together. It's ridiculous.
And that's the problem with the NBA. You have to think that way. By the way, Drew Holiday would be very good on this team, Celtic team right now. But that's what you have to think of. NBA players they know now. LeBron's done it. Durant's done it. All these guys have done it. You get up, you go. You move to another team.
You start your own team. But some of these young kids almost can't wait to be that class, like to be like that guy, like Durant, like Harden, like LeBron.
Lillard right now? But he's frustrated.
But it's almost like this status. Like I've reached a goal now where I can shoot my way out of town. It's almost like there's something they can't wait for.
Yeah.
And they all know it's waiting for them.
So Golden State did it with guys that they drafted, guys that re-signed, Curry, Draymond, Thompson.
Yep.
So all drafted by Golden State.
Yep.
So remember, Mark Jackson was running that team. They couldn't get out of their own way. And then, his face, Steve Kerr comes in, they win a championship.
Sure.
So
might be an outlier.
Why can't the Celtics be the East Coast version of the Golden State Warriors? You have a Thompson.
Well, that's been the talk for
you
years.
But they're young still. You basically have a Draymond Green, Marcus Smart. You have I don't think Jason
Christian
Tatum is
they get,
Curry
they get,
yet,
they get,
obviously.
They get more talent.
I'm just saying, more as talent. Far as keeping the team together, why can't the Celtics? So what was the difference maker for Golden State? Because each one of those guys had options to leave. They could have sat there and said, you know, we're going to go someplace else.
Yeah, but think about it. They brought Durant in.
Okay. But they had already won a championship.
Yeah. Correct. But they brought him in because they didn't think they could continue to do that because you just have to get better. The, Thompson has had injury problems. So
this this is before that. Okay, Thompson signed a new deal after he blew out his knee. Didn't get the max contract because he wasn't an all NBA. And then he had the same time, but it doesn't matter.
They had more talent. Andre Iguodala, people like that, they were able to bring in.
They brought him in.
That's right. They were able to bring those guys
in. So it can be done.
This team can't do that.
Oh, why?
Because they're using the Carson Edwards and the Tremont Waters. That's what they're doing here.
But I'm saying the point is like, fine, I get it. Unique situation. But I would say that you have 50% of the puzzle completed. Okay? You have two all-stars. Whatever you think of all-stars, it doesn't matter. You got two all-stars.
And you're almost
You're going to hire a new coach. I'm not saying short-term. Maybe it's something. Maybe it's not. Okay? There's, three-fourths of the situation. Now fill in the gaps. Fill in the gaps.
Well, where are you going to get the other players?
I don't know. It's not my job.
Golden State has better players.
Well, here's the other thing, too, to keep in mind. All-star. To me, it's about the timeline as well. Because I think by the fourth or fifth year, Golden State had won a championship. Curry's fourth or fifth year.
Took him that long.
So, but here we are now. We're talking about year seven here for Jason Tatum. You know, year six, seven by the time. So after 4 or 5 years, you know, Klay Thompson's in the league, 3 years? You know, Curry's in the league 5 years. They win a championship. There's no reason to go anywhere else. Why would you go anywhere? And, oh, by the way, we brought in Kevin Durant. I don't want to go anywhere. What are you talking about? We were a championship team. The Celtics, if they had won a championship this year, then I would say, okay, now you're good. Now, all of a sudden, people are coming to you. Now, Tatum and Brown are like, we already won a championship. We're good. The next 3 or 4 years, we keep getting better.
All I'm saying
like 5 years in the league, they'd won a championship. Tatum's like, we got a seventh seed. We got bounced.
Klay Thompson and Steph Curry, do you think they like each other?
I don't know if they like each other.
I mean, I'm just saying. No, I'm serious.
They're really good best friends.
Yeah, I do think that is, hey, listen, hey, we understand, and I think there is Curry is obviously the better player, but Thompson doesn't get disrespected.
I think the timeline makes a big difference, though. I think it does. I think, you know, it's like Anthony Davis, you know, 4 or 5 years in New Orleans, he's like, I'm out. You know, these guys, 6 or 7 years in Boston, it's not going anywhere. You know, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, Steph Curry, 3, 4, 5 years in the league, we're winning championships. I don't want to go anywhere. Why would I want to go anywhere? Yeah, but
I'm just saying that if it breaks up, it's because of selfishness, you know, your own goals.
Always.
Unless you can, I think this is the toughest
selfish
part.
Selfish should be part of the logo. NBA.
Listen,
we're selfish.
And if it's not like Golden State is some, you know, great destination. Everyone wants to play for Golden State.
So let's bring up Golden State, though, because it's an interesting team that you threw out there. Yeah. It is. Okay, so we know what Steph Curry is. Steph Curry is a phenomenal ball handler. I believe he's the greatest shooter I have ever seen in the NBA. And he is your point guard. Klay Thompson has been able to sacrifice part of his game. He's also a phenomenal shooter.
Yeah.
He's one of the better defensive players on that
team. They play off each other.
Right.
No animosity.
So they have been willing to do it. Now, they also had success. And once they won a championship, it allowed them, and they were all able to get the big bucks. And they had another guy, Draymond Green, that was able to do all the dirty work.
So we're talking about, like,
that's Marcus
Smart.
But
I'm just saying, talking about five years for Steph, 4 years for Klay. So now you start putting the timeline together for these guys, Jalen and Jason. You know, we're right around 4 and 5, right? As far as years in the league, or next year will be 4 and 5, whatever it might be. So next year, like we said, the next 2 years, you got to build something. Say next year or the year after, you win a championship. Yeah, they're not going anywhere. Just like these guys didn't go anywhere.
Right.
But if you're a freaking play-in team again, and you're 6 years in the same city, dude, what am I doing here?
There'll be a new coach in two years. That's what'll happen. They'll go through one coach and they'll bring another one in here. And that's the problem. There's no patience out there. And so you can look at Tatum. You don't think he was frustrated after what happened this year? He's putting up 50 and 60 points out there in games just to kind of keep the thing going. And he's sitting there going, and what? We're eliminated in the first round?
And you know what I would, you know, if you're a GM, you would probably say, okay, I have to remove their ability to screw me. I have to remove their ability to dictate terms, and that, you know, because I can't build a team if these guys are gonna control everything. So I'm gonna lock you up on a big, nice contract and tie you down. So I got at least on paper, I got 4 years to figure something out. You guys are constants. Now let me build around you. That doesn't mean work anymore. No. That doesn't apply.
No,
contract terms, players, years, money, it doesn't matter anymore.
Yeah. And you start and get ready for it. You're going to start seeing it in the National Football League. You're already seeing it with Aaron Rodgers. You start down in Houston as well until all of the stories came out about the stuff that was going on.
I haven't heard anything about that anymore, have we?
Yeah. But that's what happens right now. Players can dictate everything. Now you mark my word.
Okay. Mark this, it.
I mean, Udoka is going to be the head coach of the Celtics. So, and the reason Udoka. Thank you very much.
I think it's Ime, correct?
It's Ime.
What is it?
No, I'm kidding. It's Ime Udoka.
Ime Udoka. He's going to be the new head coach of the Celtics. And people are going to sit there and say, well, what are they doing? Who is he? Well, he's got, you know, some background being with the San Antonio team. But even more important, he's got a history 2 years ago in the World Cup of being with these guys, with Jason Tatum. You don't think that is playing into this thing?
If they like him.
Yeah, but my guess is that if he's on that list right now, and they're leaking it out that he's part of the list. Mm-hmm. Where do you think that's coming from? It's coming from Tatum likes this guy.
We hope both of them like him.
Yeah.
You would hope.
Well, and Billups, I've already told you, I think people in the organization like Billups, but I'm not sure whether the players do. And this is going to be dictated by the players because that's what the league does.
I guess if you're an optimist, you could sit there and say, we could do exactly what Golden State did. Out goes Mark Jackson.
Yeah, well,
out goes Brad Stevens.
You got 2 years to do it.
In comes another guy. Yeah, I feel like.
But look at the history. Well, they're an outlier, first of all. And second of all, everything had to work perfectly for that thing to happen. And if it didn't, and they were unlikable, and they were a seventh seed out in the West, guess what? They would have been all breaking up, leaving. I'm gone. I'm out of here.
That's what I said. The next 2 years. That's where you got 2 years. You want to get to an NBA final next 2 years? Good luck. Okay, maybe they can. I don't know what Brad Stevens can do to this roster, but after that, you're talking about 6-7 years in the league. You know, again, both these guys are going to sit there and say, what am I doing here? At that point in their career, Klay Thompson and Steph Curry had 2 rings. Why would that go? Yeah, I'll sign an extension here. So I just think, you worry about where it's headed.
Yeah, that's
2 years.
In order to kind of build that reputation, you got to at least get to the finals. You don't have to win it. You have to get to it.
Mm-hmm.
And then, hey, we're not going anywhere. We need one more guy.
Year this year. Last year, you went to the Eastern Conference Finals. Say what you want about the bubble. All of a sudden, this year, we come in, and it just seems like, you know, Brad Stevens, they're done with Brad Stevens. They don't want him to be the coach anymore. They're not listening with him. They're not even listening to Marcus Smart. You go back to the Jared Weiss article. They're not listening to anything. Next thing you know, they're a play-in team, and they get in the playoffs to get their ass whooped. I mean, it's just, this year was just sort of like, where are we right now? You know, if they went back to the Eastern Conference Finals, you could still kind of mentally be like, okay, we're still close. Are they? Right now, Tatum's out there talking to these guys. You're not close. Look at you. You're not close. So you got a new coach. Kemba's gone. Now what? You got Al Horford. He's 107.
I think that's the problem. No, I think that's the problem. I mean, when you think about it, the ownership, they loved Danny Ainge. They loved Brad Stevens. And yet, what happens? Stevens can no longer coach anymore because the guys have shut him off. Ainge has had it. He's out of here, by the way. Greg Hill, you should know. He's selling his house. All of that happens, right? And then you start hearing stuff like this from Chris Mannix about how the team was dealing with COVID.
The Celtics were among the teams that I know of that didn't take COVID very seriously. You know, would continue to go out on the road and would find ways to skirt the rules at times when they were traveling. They didn't take these protocols seriously, not as seriously as some other teams did. Washington, when they had all their COVID issues back in January, early February, they blamed Boston. They complained to the league that, you know, the Celtics, you know, because of what they had heard about players going out, you know, in Florida, I believe it was, that they believe they contracted their issues through the Celtics. They believe they were taking it seriously and that the Celtics weren't. So this was not something that was, you know, most of the league knew what was going on with the Celtics and how they weren't really taking these COVID protocols seriously.
Stuff like this, more and more you hear, and we heard saw it yesterday in The Athletic with the Jared Weiss piece, the more and more you see, they're not out there, you know, killing each other, but what they're doing is they're basically telling you it's not worth it. It's not worth it. I mean, this is the stuff that's happening with this team. And if you have success, Lou's right. Tatum will be happy to be here. Brown will be happy to be here.
Does anybody see those comments from Mannix? And it just makes you understand more how lack of control Brad Stevens had in this team.
Yeah.
Like, because you know all these managers and head coaches, whatever, in sports are telling their team and they're trying to make aware of how serious this is. and how we need you on the court, how you got to follow protocol, and you can't do this, and you can't do that. I'm sure Brad Stevens was saying that, but once again, they weren't listening. They don't care what this guy said. They didn't care what he did all year long. So they're like as far as missing games, I think it was Tristan Thompson missed like 27 days. Or Evan Fournier was 27 days with the Celtics. That's like the third most days of anyone in the NBA. Tristan Thompson was right behind him at 26 days. Yeah. Romeo Langford missed like 24 days.
We hardly know.
And all these freaking people out there, these Celtics, you know, like green teamers, nobody was affected more than COVID. That's why they didn't play. It's their fault.
Yes.
Nobody cared about COVID. Nobody cared about protocols. I don't want to hear COVID. They got hit with COVID. These guys did whatever the hell they wanted because their coach had no control over them at all. None. It's embarrassing.
And their star players, had no control over them. Because usually, if the coach is not doing it in the NBA, your star players are calling you in saying, what the bleep are you doing? We got a game to play, and you're out in the town. What are you doing?
That stuff about Tristan Thompson, and everybody kind of came out and defended him and said, the report was that he was out and didn't care about protocol, and everybody was mad at him.
Kemba Walker,
you know what they said? And they came, no, we're not mad at him. We like him.
Yeah,
no kidding, because, you guys are going out, too.
Yeah. Exactly.
So you weren't mad at him for going out, because you were right there. With him.
Yeah, and then you knew that, like, you know, it's like you were all on the same page.
Yeah, we're all on the same page.
Yeah, we're all, and it is a more of an indictment on Brad Stevens.
Oh, my God.
At first, I was like, all right, it's more about, listen, we don't believe we can win. We know we're not any good.
Part of that.
You know, we know that we're not going anywhere, so why should I take these things seriously? Why should I have discipline? Because we have nothing to lose, because we have nothing to gain. We have nothing is in our reach. What we want to achieve is that we're going to play the Nets in the first round. Come on.
But that's the issue I have with the NBA, is that you don't even have to be a long-term, all-star player, all-NBA player for many years to have power in that league. If you're a young player, you have control over those coaches. And it's obvious that Brad Stevens is respected as a really good coach in this league, and his team thought he was what? Nothing. That's the way they treated him. They didn't care about respect for him. That this is what you're doing. See, you're putting him in a bad position.
And I would say this. Do you agree with this? Do you think that Brad Stevens' personality or his willingness to kind of be walked over, like, he's just a nice guy. Like, forget about walked over. He's a nice guy.
You got to be more aggressive.
He's, like, begging his team to do the right thing. Do you think, like, he's protected because he's a GM? Because we're only talking dollars and cents here. We're not talking about, you're not motivating anybody. You're just
protected,
working.
I don't.
Oh, well, so he's not going to be affected by a lack of passion, right? So just because his players, when he's a coach, tune him out, it doesn't mean that personality trait is going to affect his new job being as the GM.
Well, Jeff Goodman said that the one thing he fears, and he's a big fan of Brad Stevens. He's known him for a long time, dating back to the college days. He said he thinks he's too nice a guy. And I would agree that...
He worries, or he wonders.
Yeah.
He wonders.
I think as a coach in this league, unfortunately, I know a lot of people hear Brad Stevens and they say, I want somebody who's going to yell at the players. I hate to tell you, I don't care how young these players are, 20, 21. You're seeing it now in Dallas, where Luka Doncic can get general managers, coaches fired. He can do whatever he wants because there's the fear that the superstar is going to say, I don't want to be here anymore. Exactly what we've been talking about. You can't be a hard ass anymore in the NBA. I'm sorry, but you can look at San Antonio and people think he's a hard ass as a coach. He is not. Poppy's not that way.
Steve Kerr's a hard ass.
Steve Kerr is not a hard ass. He's not. None of these guys are. They can't be anymore because the players control the league. So, but as a general manager, you have to separate yourself from all of that. He knows more than anybody else what Jaylen Brown is bringing every day to the table, what Marcus Smart is bringing every day to the table, and how the mix works. He doesn't have to be there in the locker room with him every day. Now he's got to be a hard ass, and he's got to look at it and say, I got to get rid of that guy.
Well, we already traded one of them. Okay. Whether he had problems with him or not.
Yeah.
I don't know, who knows, whether they liked each other or not. So it's they already moved on from one guy.
It's a start.
But I think it's really sad now when you look back at it. Like, you talk about a lack of control of your team.
I know.
And I agree. It's probably somewhat of like, okay, we're out of this thing. And, you know, Tristan Thompson's going out every single night. Maybe he's telling, Blake Griffin, it's not worth it, right? We talk about their history together. They played together, whatever. So
I do whatever I want.
Maybe he's part of it. And there's a reason why no one's mad at Tristan Thompson for going out, because now we find out you're all going out and that nobody's listening to Brad Stevens. And it was an absolute mess, and nobody could wait till the season was over because you need a different coach. awesome. That was a fun year.
Not like hockey.
Wait till Al shows up. No. Everything's going to change.
Oh, my God, please. Remember yesterday we were talking about Tom Brady? He's on the shop on Friday.
Yeah.
And he came up with a comment about a team basically passing MF-er. On him. Remember that? Passing
on some guy, an MF-er.
MF-er. We might have the answer as to who that team was and that player. We might. We'll give it to you. Maybe next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Back here on OMF. Yesterday we played a little bit of a clip there promoting this thing on Friday. Tom Brady is going to be on that LeBron show, The Shop, which is on HBO, and they all sit around and they talk
shop. And they talk shop.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. And then they reveal stuff. And so Brady was pretty candid in talking about the time he was dealing with free agency last year, including the fact that he was knocking a team that passed on him because they were sticking with that MF-er.
One of the teams, and they weren't interested at the very end. I was thinking, you're sticking with that mother.
So we all laughed. We all laughed. And it's the Tom Brady we never saw here in New England. And now he's open. He's free. He can say whatever he wants. And he's basically ripping other people. So there was the odds in Vegas of the hypothetical odds of who Tom Brady was talking about. Jimmy G was a plus 150.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mitch Trubisky was a plus 200. Derek Carr was a plus 400. The guy that we thought, Jared Goff, was a plus 500. And if you played the field, it's a plus 800. So is it safe to say that Jeff Darlington on ESPN is pretty tight, I think, with Brady and the Brady clan, right? And so he was asked that question about it on Get Up this morning.
Greeny, I'm going to say it as clear as day. It is the New Orleans Saints.
Huh?
And regret might be a strong word because ultimately Drew Brees decided to delay his broadcasting career a year and come back for one more season. It's the Saints did the right thing by bringing Brees back. But I think that people still underestimate how close Tom Brady was to signing with the New Orleans Saints up until he ultimately decided on the Bucs.
So what people did is they listened to that, and I saw it today on social media. They were claiming it was Drew Brees that was the MF-er. No, it's Taysom Hill.
See, I disagree. I think Darlington's wrong. Because the day that Tom Brady decided to leave New England was the day Drew Brees signed his contract in New Orleans. So, you know, if they had talked right up to the very end, then they had to know, like, listen, if we don't get you, we're bringing back Drew. You know, he's coming back for another year. So that if it's New Orleans, and he's saying that about Drew Brees, which he would never say.
I don't think he would ever say it about Drew Brees.
But the timeline doesn't fit.
Well, wait a minute now. If he was, wink, wink, talking with other teams before he left New England, not that that would ever happen, then the timeline would fit.
Well, you don't think New Orleans knew 3 days before they signed Drew Brees to a 2-year deal that they were going to do it?
I don't know.
1 week before they were going to do it?
I don't know.
But no, it to me, I'm not even following any of those clues. Like, to me, it's like, okay, he would not openly reference Drew Brees as that MF-er. Like, he sucked. Like, he wasn't worth anything.
I agree.
To me,
with that,
this sounds like Brady referencing a guy that was probably overhyped and hadn't accomplished anything. That a lot of people looked at, probably had a lot of money attached to his contract. People probably thought he was the next big thing.
Jared Goff.
And he looked at him and said, this MF-er?
Yeah.
You're going to stick with him?
Yeah.
That's why Jared Goff made all the sense in the world.
And I don't even think it would be.
We threw it out yesterday.
I think it's. And I also think, like, follow the trail, follow the scent to L.A. Like, I mean, Tampa, it's not like anybody wants to go to Tampa, but that thing was perfectly set up.
Now, Jimmy G, they're basically doing it because we knew that the question was asked by John Lynch to Bill Belichick, because Lynch has admitted that.
I still think it's Jimmy.
Right.
I still think it's Jimmy G. And I know you say, oh, no, they're tight. They respect one another. They're New England.
They, like,
they go to the, you know, Kentucky Derby together.
They're like Jason and Jalen.
Sorry. Tight. Sorry. I could just see him do, like, I stopped this guy once from taking my job. I showed that he's on the better quarterback, and we traded him. And he's been hurt for you for how many years? And you're going to stick with him? You know, think of the timing of it. The guy that you guys didn't trust in the fourth quarter in that Super Bowl that just happened, you're going to stick with that MF-er? Are you serious?
No, I'm not buying it. Unless there's this diabolical, you know, side to him where he's, even the fact that the San Francisco 49ers are his childhood team.
Yeah.
His favorite team growing up. And I'm sure maybe there was this, hey, I would love to win a Super Bowl with the San Francisco 49ers, just like my hero, Joe Montana.
Yeah.
But you got to stick with this MF-er?
You're going to stick with the guy, you're going to stick with the MF-er you didn't trust in the fourth quarter with a lead in the Super Bowl?
I still say no.
You got a team like that, and you're going to stick with a guy you know you can't win? Because, by the way, there's another guy the year before, and that was Jared Goff. You know what I mean?
So that's the guy.
But I'm just saying, like, two quarterbacks, you know, that proved in the fourth quarter they couldn't pull it off in the biggest games, and you're going to stick with both these MFers? Like, I think it's one of those two.
Well, I also say, the other thing is, like, let's realize and come to the grips with the fact that the L.A. Rams never really liked Jared Goff. They understood after they committed to him, before his rookie contract was even up, they committed to him. Okay, so they're like, fine, we'll do it. And then they realized that they can only go so far. He's limited. He's very limited. They kicked the tires. They put Brady in the crosshairs. Okay, but they just ultimately decide maybe they can't move Jared Goff and his salary. Maybe nobody, because they already got him under contract. What are they going to do with him? But eventually they found a trade partner, and that was Matthew Stafford and the Detroit Lions. So I believe that it wasn't just like, okay, they had, like, they just decided this past year that they wanted to get rid of Jared Goff. No, that was a year ago. And the only reason why they said they're going to stick with their guys because they probably didn't have a way of moving Jared Goff. That's the way I think it went down.
Did you notice 3 days of a mini camp and suddenly they're in love with Matthew Stafford? They loved him to begin with. They didn't realize he was this freaking good.
Sean McVay is basically releasing every hour on the hour all over any microphone when he is asked about Matthew Stafford. It is ridiculous. Like, if I'm Jared Goff, Jesus, you never talk to me about that.
I will say this, though. Imagine if we got 20 years of this Brady, in which Brady was revealing stuff like this. I mean, you hear it every once in a while from somebody like Aaron Rodgers, and we go, oh, my God, listen to what he just said. But Brady took the high road. Talk about the high road, and yesterday you were talking about
20 years of the high road.
20 years of the freaking high road.
Can you imagine if a Deflategate was going on and he was on another team?
Oh!
Can you imagine this high road? I'm not doing the right thing. Like, this ain't happening. Imagine Gronk, like all these guys that just, you know, they just sucked it up and they just bit their tongue and they did what was needed.
I mean, we said it yesterday. If Brady was still with the Patriots, he went on the shop. He wouldn't go on the shop.
Nope.
And if he did go on the shop, he would never say something like this because it opened up the door and he's probably looking at it today and saying, oh my God,
I was talking about
Drew Brees.
There was a time with Brady, his last year, I think there was a collective understanding that he's going to do whatever he wants. Like, hey, Tom, you want to do this? You got to go through Stacey James for almost everybody. I remember at that point in time, it was like, listen, just ask him. He can do whatever he wants. And it usually, like, hold on, let me check with coach. Anything regarding Tom. At that point in time, that last year, it was not even going to bother. He does what he can do whatever he wants. You go through him and set it up. I'm out of it. Like, to me, that was an obvious sign that they all kind of understood that he was not playing anymore. Like, he wasn't going to be the guy that stands in line and does the right thing. Is you know, to a certain degree,
he still didn't burn them. I mean, he really didn't. I mean, the one.
Why would he though?
No, he. Well, because he might have had a hair across his ass. I mean, the only thing I think that we all kind of question is that out of the gate, what was it? They were 8-0, and he was talking about how bad the team was.
Yes.
Remember that.
If you're Tom Brady, you're sitting there going, wow, I won 6 Super Bowls and it was a freaking grind. Can you imagine if Bruce Arians was my coach and we were stuck here in Miami or Tampa? How much fun would we? We'd still be winning. We did it. We'd still be winning, but he'd be like, yeah, come and go as you play. Man, we're going to booze. We lose. We don't care.
One other MF-er possible. What about Tannehill, Tennessee?
Yeah, Tennessee might have had some interest.
Because it was his first year in Tennessee.
Okay, he had a good year. Signed the contract.
Yeah, no, he had signed the contract. Good year. And he's talking to his boy Vrabel. Because who would Tom feel comfortable enough to drop that on? Like, would Shanahan sit there and say, you know, would he feel comfortable to be like, you're going to stick with that mother effer? Or Sean Payton or all these teams we're thinking about? Would he be like that with Vrabel?
Yeah. Yes.
In a heartbeat, right?
Yeah. Yes.
Mike, seriously, you're going to stick with that MF? You know, I played against him in Miami. The same guy in Miami all those years, you're going to stick with him?
Yeah.
Because he had what? A good 10 games with you?
Yeah.
You're going to stick with him?
It's all run, play action. He can only complete play action passes. You guys, right? All you have to do is
after
run.
After watching Tannehill down in Miami, somebody's very comfortable enough to drop that on. See, Mike Vrabel.
But that's a good angle, Lou, in that he would have to feel comfortable. He's talking to people that he just doesn't do business with.
If he said that out loud to the coach, and I'm not so sure if he's clear or not, like whether he just said it to himself. You know what I mean? Like, man, I'm thinking, you're going to stick with that MF-er? Yeah. Or did you actually tell the coach that?
Jared Goff seems like the most, I mean, that's the best.
Tannehill, I don't know, 10 games.
I'm the
guy showed for 10 games. And Mike Vrabel, we go way back, bro. You're going to stick with Tannehill?
He beat that guy, Jared Goff.
He was down there looking at that. He was down there looking at that private school, wasn't he? Oh, no, that wasn't
him. No, that wasn't him. He was everywhere.
But he was sort of kind of, no.
Well, because they did have the whole thing where him and Edelman didn't.
Right? That was another one.
Wasn't him and Edelman like at some like basketball game and like they were FaceTiming Vrabel or something like that?
The Syracuse game in the FaceTime courtside.
Yeah. Maybe Tannehill might be the MF.
He had to explain that one, too.
No, I would say the guy that I would have the least amount of respect for as far as their game goes.
Jared Goff.
Tannehill did beat you, would be Jared Goff.
Yeah.
This dude went to Cal, this MF-er, this dude, this guy's weak. This guy sucks.
God, this would have been great for 20 years if we could take MF-er Brady and try to dissect and analyze what the hell he was talking about. This hour brought to you by East Coast Metal Roofing. Could you imagine if your child had the opportunity to have a Hall of Fame athlete coach them in sports? You'd be dumb to say no to that, right? You
them
would, right?
In sports.
That's what it
wrote
says here.
That. Did Spaz write that?
Well, we have some dumb parents. Oh, he's giving you the finger over there.
Oh, right?
A double bird. Oh, we're getting hostile now. We have some dumb parents that want nothing to do with a certain Hall of Fame quarterback coaching their children. Who is it?
Time now for Last Call.
See you later.
I'm done.
And it's been a blast. I think the show has been a lot of fun.
I mean, I'm letting you go.
I'm letting you go.
Last Call.
You know, it's really about the end of it.
Our very, very best. You know, we've saved for last.
Heads down, not stretch my thumb.
Where'd you get a f***ing in?
Thanks for the ride, everybody. I'll see you around the block.
Bye-bye.
Now, it's Last Call on Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier.
All brought to you by Cars for Kids. It's the easy way to donate your car. Donate today. Car can be picked up tomorrow. Go to carsforkids.com. 1-877-CARS-FOR-KIDS. You guys remember this Saturday Night Live sketch? 2007. I think it is the best ever by an athlete on that show. Peyton Manning coaching a bunch of kids.
Being a kid can be harder than it looks. Sometimes it helps to have an adult around.
All right.
That's why Peyton Manning takes time out to volunteer with local youth groups.
You guys ready to play some football?
Yeah!
Put our hands in. All right, we're going to have fun. We're going to encourage each other. Teamwork on three. 1, 2, 3. Teamwork!
Peyton uses football to teach valuable lessons of communication.
Check. Watch the sale. Peyton, watch the blitz. Brown, 55, Razor. Sit up. Get your head out of your ass. You suck. Do you want to lose? I throw, you catch. It's not that hard, okay? All right, get the out of here.
The NFL and the United Way. Spend time with your kids so Peyton Manning doesn't.
Kids all come live with me in my mansion?
Yeah!
Calm down. I'm just f***ing with you.
it's one of the all-time great sketches. Well, apparently it didn't age well in the eyes of some parents. Peyton sat down with Carrie Underwood and mentioned he had some problems when trying to coach his own kids' sports team.
I coach my son's flag football team. I help out with my daughter's softball team. It's a lot of fun. It's a great way to spend time with your kids. Although I got to tell you, Kelly, some of the parents, I think, of the other kids on the team were a little hesitant at first because the last time they really saw me ever doing any coaching
was on this Saturday Night Live skit where I was pegging 7-year-old kids in the head with footballs. And I think these parents were like, are we sure we want our kid to play on your team? I'm like, it was Saturday Night Live. It was a spoof skit.
Oh,
relax. I'm not going to do that to your kid.
Wait, so.
Probably not.
Probably not. I can't believe that. You don't really believe that,
no,
do you?
I know.
You don't, really believe, you don't believe the parents, no. Like, you know, I saw the Saturday Night Live, and I thought you really mean to the kids. Are you going to be like that?
But you know what I believe? Here's what I believe. Peyton Manning is really good at this stuff, entertainment. Yeah. And what he did is he took that old sketch, and he said, ooh, I can make this all work, and this can be
he's a funny, creative guy. I just don't believe that actually ever happened.
So, like, the Tennessee team was in the Baseball World Series or whatever,
yeah,
and he's doing this whole sketch the other day, Omaha, and he starts yelling Omaha, and it was he made a whole video out of it.
It's good.
Good at this stuff. He's really good.
I know.
Brady was never good at this stuff.
See, that's where I think you're wrong.
Brady was good at
this? Yeah, I think he,
the underwear sketch? Was that the one?
Let's do Brady now. Let Brady host Saturday Night Live now.
No,
exactly.
Brady's good now. He was
different bird now.
He was not good. It was a different team. It was a different.
I mean, what other commercial did he have like that was like remotely funny? Like he had those Funny or Die things that he did for like Dick's Sporting Good. That was pretty good. You remember those?
No.
See?
You're screaming at the guy. He's like, it's me, Tom Brady. That's me. Was that the one?
That one.
Yeah, it was good.
Not as good as cut that.
No.
I'm from California.
Oh, we got a mini mutt show coming up next. Then we get the baseball game. And the manager, Alex Cora, will join us tomorrow at the 2 o'clock hour. So we'll see tonight whether any of the guys are wearing some of the sticky stuff.
We'll see. E-Rod.
On the fingers. That's right. We'll find out tonight. All right, boys. We'll see you tomorrow. 2 o'clock. Be here. Stay safe out there.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.